Amen. We're going to go right to the word of the Lord. Remember, bus leaves at 1:20, going to Canton for service this afternoon. And so you can join us there for service. You're sure welcome at 1:20, and then we'll be back for service this evening at 6. Amen. Here for prayer, at prayer for 5:30. So looking forward to a great rest of the day. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I want to turn our attention for the next few moments to the book of the Psalms, Psalm 77. Psalm 77, and I particularly want to read the 13th verse as our text here today. Psalm 77, verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. I want to preach today on the subject, the solace of the sanctuary. Amen. Thank God for the church. Praise the Lord, the solace of the sanctuary. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. God is an omnipresent spirit. He's everywhere. The psalmist said, if I ascend to the heavens, he said, you're there. He said, if I make my bed in hell, he said, you're there. Whither shall I go from thy presence? There's no place that you can go to get away from God. And yet sometimes we say we're so far from God. Well, you're not far from God. He's close to every one of us. The fact of the matter is, God's not only in the church house, but he's in the beer joint. He's in the theater. He's in the White House. He's everywhere. There's not a place he's not today. He's in every home. He's everywhere. There's no getting away from the Lord. He's just everywhere. There's no place that God is not. And yet, there are places that God reveals himself. There are places that God shows himself more than others. On occasion, I've known people that the Lord opened their eyes while they were in a place that you wouldn't think God would be. I had a friend that used to play, well, he was a tremendous musician. He could play anything with strings on it, and an awesome job. He was playing with some big name country star. I don't remember his name. I don't recall his name, but they were playing somewhere in Canada, and then some nightclub and big crowd, and everybody's dancing and things are going on, and he said all of a sudden it was like scales fell off of his eyes. And he saw things he had not seen before. He began to see what was going on before him, and he saw it in a different way. He didn't see the joy of it and the pleasure of it. Instead, he saw the sorrow of it. He saw the adulteries and the broken homes and the alcoholism and all of the things that were going before his eyes. And then a spirit came over him and said, a voice said, you don't belong here. And he knew that. And he immediately packed up his instrument, walked off of the stage, got an airplane ticket to Houston, Texas. And the next morning, he was in Irving Pentecostal Church. And as soon as the altar call was given, he hit the altar and God gave him the Holy Ghost. And he told the pastor, he said, I want to be baptized. He said, when? He said, right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. He was ready. So God can appear in some unusual places. God spoke to Moses on the backside of the Midian desert. God spoke to David in the sheep coat. God can speak to people in a lot of places. But most people, the majority of people, will hear from God in the house of God. He can speak to us anywhere. He can speak to us everywhere. But the fact of the matter is, we will hear from God in the house of God. This psalm today was written by Asaph. Asaph also wrote the 73rd Psalm. In the 73rd Psalm, he talked about his step had well nigh slipped, he said, because he was watching, he had his eyes on evildoers. And it seemed like they were prospering and they were getting away with things. And he thought, why am I living a righteous life? And it seems like things are not going well for me, but it's going well for them. He said, but when I went to the house of the Lord, he said, I understood their end. So the house of God, here you can get perspective on things. I'm going to just be real frank with us here this morning. There are things you see that you can say outside the church that you wouldn't say here, and you know you wouldn't. There are things that you may read or say somewhere else, but you wouldn't read or see here. This is where you get perspective. This is where you know what's right and wrong. Would you do it in church? Would you say it in church? That's a pretty good perspective of what's right and what's wrong. Amen. Well, I don't know if I ought to say this. Would you say it in church? Then you might want to back up a little bit. I don't thought I'd do this. Well, would you mind people in church knowing that you're doing that? That's a pretty good perspective on whether you should do it or not. Amen. Shake your head like this right here. That's pretty good, Brother Grissom. Thank you, sir. Good stuff right there now. Mm-hmm. That just gives us perspective. As a matter of fact, the word, what word is that? Profane. The word profane is talking about things that would happen at church in the house of God. Something that's profane is something you wouldn't do in the house of God. That's what the word's talking about. So profane language is something you wouldn't use at church. Profane acts are things you wouldn't do at church. And so that just, the Bible says that the word of the house of God gives us a perspective. I know people, and I know this, I understand why they say it, but I know people say, well, you know, I don't like to go to church, there's hypocrites there. As if there's none in the world. Anybody worked on a job where there's hypocrites? Has anybody been going shopping where there was hypocrites? Anybody ever gone to a family reunion where there's hypocrites? What a sorry excuse for not going to church. Amen. There's hypocrites everywhere. Don't let a hypocrite get between you and God. If you do, he's closer to God than you are. So, that's not a good excuse, but I've heard people say that. But I've seen far more hypocrisy in the world than I have in the church. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. The church is not a museum for perfect people. This is a hospital for hurting people. You're not a hypocrite if you go to the hospital because you're hurting. That's what it's there for. It's for sick people. And there's all kinds of degrees of sickness in the hospital. In the hospital, there's people that are almost well. And there's people that are very sick. And in church, you're going to find people that are almost well. There's none of us that are completely well yet. Because we don't have a glorified body. Amen. All of us are still struggling with some things, right? All of us are still going through some stuff. But we're a lot better than we were. Amen. You ought to be better than you started. Amen. And some are real sick. I mean, they're really hurting. Don't deny them the opportunity of healing. I know people that have quit church because they said, well, I'm not going to go to church if I'm doing this. Well, the only place I know if you're going to get help is there. So don't quit going. That's like saying to the doctor, well, until this cancer goes away, I'm not coming back. Amen. And we don't need church people ragging on folks because they're not perfect yet. If you know somebody and they're struggling with something, don't criticize them. Pray for them. If they're having a hard time giving up some habit, they don't need you telling them about it. They already know. just need you to pray for them, encourage them, help them. That's how we get out of this stuff. Amen. This should not be a place of condemnation. This ought to be a place of solace and a place of help and a place of encouragement and a place of strength and a place of instruction and a place of inspiration and a place of deliverance. That's what God wants the church to be. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be great if people really could come to church and just really reveal what they're struggling with without fear of being condemned and castigated? That's what church was intended to be. But it's not that very much, is it? Because we have to hide a lot of stuff. Come on now, Brother Grissom, you're telling the truth today. We have to hide a lot of stuff because we know people wouldn't approve. And so instead of getting some help with some things we need, we try to cover up so nobody knows we're hurting. But the house of God should be a place of solace. Amen. This is not about perfect people. This is about folks that are striving for perfection. Amen. We're not satisfied living in our sins. We're not satisfied being bound with our addictions. We're wanting to get out of it. That's what we're doing here. Amen. We're not seeking approbation or approval. That's not why we're here. We're not saying, hey, this is okay for me to do this. I know it's not right. And I don't want to live this way. I want to be delivered from this. That's why I come to church. I want to be better than this. That's why the sanctuary is a solace. It should be a place that we can come to when we're hurting and find healing and find help and find strength and deliverance. That's what the house of God is about. And so the psalmist said, he said, Thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. That says volumes, doesn't it? Do you want to know what God thinks? You're going to find that in the sanctuary. I've been some beautiful places. I did a funeral service yesterday for my cousin over at Caddo Lake. That's a very different place. And it's an awesome place. Cherie described it like this. She said it's Venice with nature. Lots and lots of nature. Amen. But it's about channels and coves and awesome trees, cypress trees, and Spanish moss hanging down. And awesome views, beauty all around you. Amen. And my cousin called it God's country. Amen. But I want you to know this is God's country too. And I've met folks that would say things like, well, you know, I don't go to church, I just come here. Because it's, that won't do. God's ways are in a sanctuary. If you want to find God's ways, you go to a sanctuary. If you want to know God's thoughts, you go to a sanctuary. If you want to hear God's word, you go to a sanctuary. Amen. If you want to feel God's presence, yes, you can feel God's presence at Cato. I sure did. But you're really going to feel it intensely. Amen. I said you'll feel it intensely when the people of God go to worship. Hallelujah. There'll be a peace that passes understanding and a joy that is unshakable and unspeakable. Amen. There'll be a love that lasts. Amen. And is unfathomable. Amen. We find God's way in His sanctuary. Amen. I like what the psalmist says. I want you to look at verse number 3. He said, I remembered God and was troubled. Now, sometimes that happens. If you hadn't been doing good and all of a sudden you think about God, it should trouble you. I said it should trouble you. If you're not living right and you start thinking about God, that ought to trouble you. It should convict you. Now, I want you to get this next word. He said, I complain. Everybody say, I complain. And there's where the trouble starts. God doesn't really like complaining. And there's not much good that comes out of complaining. Have you ever been around people that complained all the time? Weren't they a joy to be around? Didn't you leave just feeling enlightened and encouraged and strengthened? No, you sure didn't. If you were happy, you left depressed. If you were encouraged, you left discouraged. That's just what complainers do. They pull everybody down if you let them. He said, I complained. Amen. Now let's look at this. He said, I complained. And he said, I'm so troubled. He said, that I cannot speak. That's what complaining will do. It'll get you troubled. You start complaining about things and all of a sudden everything looks bad. It's kind of like the guy who fell asleep and his friends came along and took some of that. You know what Limburger cheese is? That stinky stuff. And they come along while he was sleeping and they smeared it on his mustache. And he woke up and said, the whole world stinks. No, it doesn't. It's just somebody put something on your mustache, bud. Amen. But that's what happens to a complainer. You start complaining and suddenly the whole world stinks. Everything's bad. Amen. He said, verse number 7, he said, will the Lord cast off forever? He gets to doubting God's mercy, doesn't he? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? That's what complaining will do for you. You get to complaining and you doubt the promises of God and you doubt the presence of God and you doubt the power of God and you doubt the mercy of God and you doubt the love of God because you start complaining and it taints the whole picture. But then he talks about the sanctuary. And when he begins to talk about the sanctuary, things begin to change. Verse 11, he said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Everybody say the works of the Lord. You see, when you stop complaining and you start remembering what God has done and what God is doing, hallelujah. He got to thinking about the wonders of old, thought about what God had done, thought about how God delivered and how God saved and how God healed and how God provided and how God forgave and the promises of the Lord. When he got to thinking on those things, it changed his perspective. It changes attitude. It changes spirit. He said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Then he said, I will meditate also on all that work and talk of thy doings. You see, what a perspective happens here. He get, not only does he think about it, but suddenly he says, I like thinking about this. I'm going to meditate on this. I'm going to keep this in my mind. I'm going to keep this in my heart. This is what I'm going to be thinking about. And when he did that, he said, you know what? This is what I'm going to talk about. Hallelujah. I'm going to quit complaining. And I'm going to start praising. And I'm going to start witnessing. And I'm going to start telling others about how great God is and what God has done and what God can do for me and for others. You see what a difference in his perspective here? Amen. Because it all happens in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. When he gets to the sanctuary, he said, who is so great a God as our God? Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I like to come to church. Hallelujah. You know what happens? When you get down on folks, you need to come to church. There's some good people around here. There's some inspirational folks around here. Praise God. There's some praying people around here. There's some praising people around here. There's some faithful people around here. Amen. There's some loving people around here. Amen. And that's what you need to get around, people like that. Amen. people that will encourage you, people that will lift you up, people that will show you the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. In verse 14, Thou art God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared Thy strength among the people. Everybody say, God that does wonders. Amen. That's who we're serving. We're serving a God that does wonders. I think one of the greatest things that God does is how He changes us in our perspective. How you can come in discouraged and leave encouraged. You can come in depressed and leave uplifted. Amen. You can come in with sin and leave with a clean heart and a clean conscience and a pure mind. Amen. You can come in weak and you can leave strengthened. Hallelujah. God's house and God's Word brings wonders into our lives. And it does some things that nothing else can do. Thou hast redeemed with Thine arm, redeemed Thy people. Amen. I'm so glad that God redeemed us. Amen. He brought us out of some things. He delivered us from some things. Amen. That's the way God is. And that happens in His sanctuary. He said, the waters saw Thee, O God, the waters saw Thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. Amen. Whenever the sky looked up and saw God, the Bible said, and the waters, somehow they split open. And Israel crossed on dry ground. He's just putting in a poetic sense here. God controls the elements today. Did you know that? I said, God still controls the elements. He can still use all of creation for His glory and for His honor. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he waxes poetic and he talks about how God uses the elements and how God has control over the elements. And we don't. And we don't. Amen. The weatherman can more or less predict. More or less. More or less. Anybody ever went on a prediction that was wrong? That, well, I thought, you know, the weatherman said, I know he did, but he's just doing the best he can. Amen. But sometimes God wants to mix things up a little bit. The power of all things is in His hand. He created all of these things for His purpose. And it all has a place in His time. And the Bible said that He's going to make new heavens and new earth. We're wearing this one out. I know that's happening. We're wearing this old place out down here right now. We've kind of made a mess of stuff. Yeah, we have. There used to be a sign. I don't know if it's still there. There used to be a sign somewhere up around Colorado Springs, and it said that what you're smelling right now, said that's fresh air. I don't know if that's up there anymore. It's probably not there anymore. They probably had to take it down. But you know, we've things have gotten kind of smelly around here. We've kind of messed up a whole lot of things. We've polluted a lot of things, and the air and soil and water, and we've done a lot of things. I know. So we've kind of messed up God's planet, but He's going to change the whole thing. He's going to put it all back together again. Amen. But in the house of God, there's a solace. There's a solace. I think of Hannah. Hannah was a woman that had a grievous spirit because she wanted a son so desperately, and yet she could not bear child. She had an adversary, another wife of her husband that was always, she bore children, and she was always talking poorly about Hannah because she couldn't have children, and that grieved her so deeply. And the Bible says that when she went to the house of the Lord, that she went to the altar and she brought her gift and her sacrifice. And she found a place at the altar, and there she just began to pour out her heart to God. Poured out her spirit to the Lord. And she was so deep into her prayer life and in the spirit of worship that when Eli, the high priest, saw it, he didn't even perceive what was going on. Isn't that sad? Amen. That he didn't recognize prayer and worship when he saw it. He thought she was drunk. Amen. You know, that was happening with the Pentecost too, didn't it? They thought they were drunk. And they didn't deny it. They just said, but not as you suppose. Amen. Amen. This is not new wine. This is the Holy Ghost. We're drunk on the Spirit. And the Bible said, that be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's okay to be drunk on the Holy Ghost. To be drunk, of course, simply means to be under the influence of. Being inebriated by. So when we're drunk on the Holy Ghost, it means we just got so full of Holy Ghost, amen, that it's influenced us. And that's a good thing. Get so full of the Spirit of God, it controls you. It affects your thinking. It affects your actions. It affects your attitude. It affects your motives. It affects everything about you. That's a good thing. So Hannah got so deep in the Spirit of God. But you know what? God gave her her petition that day. Amen. And she gave birth to a little boy by the name of Samuel. Hallelujah. And he was so used of God that during his lifetime, he directed the nation of Israel by his influence. What a man of God. Amen. So you see, the house of God's a place of solace. This is where you can find answers today. This is a place you can find answers, and that's what we want. We want people to find answers here today. This is a solace. Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. I've been in churches before where amen to people sounded more like, gentlemen, start your engines. Because amen was a signal to race for the back door and get to the restaurant as quick as you can. Amen. Amen. But church, really, it's a place of solace. And even after we've said amen, the presence of God is still here. And you should be able to spend time in His presence. There were times when I remember as a young man, I would go to church and be so stirred by the presence of the Lord that I didn't want to spend the whole day there. My mom and dad would leave me, and we lived far away from the church, and they'd go home, and I'd just stay there until the evening service and just spend time with God. Those were precious times. Those were precious days. Amen. Just spending time in the presence of God, praying and walking in His presence, enjoying His Spirit. Those are wonderful times. Amen. And so there's solace in the sanctuary. You can find things here, folks. You can find answers today. Do you need something from God? Do you truly want to receive something from the Lord today? There's a solace in the sanctuary. He's looking for somebody that's really looking for Him. Amen. The Bible said that we should worship the Lord in spirit and truth. It said, because the Father seeketh such. God's looking for true worshipers today. He's looking for somebody that was seeking Him. So if you're looking for God, I promise He's looking for you. And He's ready. There's solace here. You can find what you're looking for this morning. You can find what you're looking for here today. Saw a man that he just reminded me of somebody that's looking for something. He had a lot of toys. And I'd see him one minute he'd be on a motorcycle and it was a nice one. And he'd race up and down on the motorcycle. Then a little bit later I'd see him and he'd be on his jet ski and he'd be flying around in the water on his jet ski. And then a little bit I'd see him in his boat and he'd be out in his boat. It was just like trading one toy for another toy for another toy. But I never saw him smile. It was like he was so intent on having fun, but he wasn't having fun at all. Amen. And I'm not against toys. I think that would be great to have any of those things, that's good. I'm not about that, not against that. But I'm just saying, but there's a peace that you can find in the solace that you find in God that you won't find in anything else. You won't find it. And I know what I'm talking about because I found it. And I want to share it with you. So I'm giving you an opportunity. How about you find it today? If you'll seek it, you'll find it. God will give it to you. Would you come today and let Him fill you? Let Him take away your troubled mind and give you a peace, literally, that passes understanding. You'll have a peace, and it'll be so deep, you'll marvel at the peace that you have. There'll be a joy that in spite of circumstances, it'll bubble up, and you'll find yourself singing in the middle of a sorrow. I know what I'm talking about here today. I found such a solace in the sanctuary. Would you come today? It's here. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. He wants you to find Him. He wants you to find Him. The Bible said He's not far from any one of us. He's close. Seek Him. How about it? Let's seek the Lord together right now. Amen. Let's fill this altar. Amen. With hungry hearts and seeking hearts today. Jesus, I'm reaching out to you. I'm reaching out. I need something today. There's an emptiness. There's a void. There's an ache on the inside that I need to fill. I need to fill it with something. I haven't found anything that would satisfy it yet. But I'm listening to the preacher today. He's telling me that you'll do it. And when you fill that void, that I'll be satisfied. Amen. And that's exactly what I need today. Jesus, I need you. Creator of the universe and maker of my body, my mind.